ABC Radio Canberra with Paula Kruger.
Good afternoon. It's 13 minutes past three on a Monday afternoon, and it is this time on a Monday afternoon that we have the joy of talking about the wonders of children's books and children's literature. And joining us to do just that is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is the director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. Belle, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you're telling us today about, it's not just about children's books, but it's actually about quite an honour for children's books. There is a list for notable children's books. Can you tell us a bit about these awards?
Well, these awards are established by the Children's Book Council of Australia. That was in 1945. So they've been going a long time. They've established themselves as a reputable group of people who pick literary books. So there's a sense of trust by the general public, by libraries and teacher librarians and teachers and parents, that if it's got the seal of the Children's Book Council and it says notable book, then it must be notable. So they really have judges right across Australia who read all the books in five different categories. So, for example, there's picture books, early childhood, younger readers, older readers, and the Eve panel, which is for information books. And at this point in time, last Tuesday, they announced the notables, the 20 best in each of those five categories. We're talking about 100 books, but they actually read 488 books.
So what makes a book notable?
Well, each of these different categories has a range of criteria. With information books, you would expect it to be authentic, but it also has to be literary. It has to be appealing. The illustrations have to be informative. Picture books can really go all the way up to 18 years of age. So in each one of these categories, there is a set of criteria, and the judges pore over them and discuss them and argue about them and spend an infinite amount of time choosing the ones that are the notables. That doesn't mean other books aren't notable, but these are the top 20.
Look, Belle, I just think in any other industry, you'd have, the best, the this awards. Trust the literary people to say, no, the word is notable. You know, it's very, very book driven. But, you know, you've gone through the list of the notables. Which ones have caught your eye?
What I've tried to do is just to pick three that I think give a sense of the atmosphere of the types of books that they had to choose from. So, for example, in looking at the books of the year, early childhood, those are for children from 0 up to 6 years of age. So that is a big category because it has to cover children who are pre-reading.
Yeah.
And there often are children at 3 and 4 who are reading. So you would anticipate that the books would have a high engagement level, that the language would be relatively simple. There would be a lot of prediction so that the children could guess that kind of what that story is about. So I've taken one example.
Okay, what's the first example?
All right, the first example is basically almost an information book, and it's by John Canty called Heads and Tails. Now, remember, what we're trying to do is engage children from 0 to 6. So it says, I live in a hive. I make honey. I can sting you. I am a... And then you turn the page...
A bee. Yes.
And so the whole pattern of the book is established with the first two pages. It sets up, the next one says, I have a spotted red body. I have a domed shell that protect my wings. I am called a lady. Even if I am a male, I am a...
Oh, and then you guess.
Yeah. Turn the page and then you know.
It's like, oh my God, I guess right, I'm a ladybug.
And of course, for young children, there is the hint because half of the body of the creature we're talking about is on that same page.
And it's the tail.
Yeah.
The head and then the tail.
Heads and Tails is very clever, very smart, very clean, beautifully designed, and a cross between engaging children and having them guess what might be next.
Absolutely. And it's got... beautiful. The illustrations look like, how would you describe them? They're beautiful watercolor pictures.
Well, even the paper it feels like it's textured. So I believe that it's watercolour black ink.
And, okay.
You know, I think. Yeah. It doesn't tell me.
You're more literature than art. You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger, and with you is Dr. Bell Alderman. She's the director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. And we're going through just some, it's a long list, so we might be doing this for more than one session with Bell, but we're going through some of the books that have made it onto this year's notable list for children's literature. So that first one in the first category, the 0 to 6 years, Bell, is Heads and Tails About Insects by John Canty. What else have you picked out for us?
Okay, the second one that I've picked out from this same kind of early childhood 0 to 6 is called Dogosaurus. Now, you know, there's a doghouse on the front cover, and inside is what we think is probably a dinosaur. And it's a little girl, Molly, who goes outside and she picks up this mysterious egg. I mean, we immediately know what's going to happen, don't we? She's going to take the egg home. It said, even though she knew she shouldn't, Molly took it home. The next page, it hatched. And so because it's really a dinosaur, it's not really a dog, of course it outgrows everything. It becomes way too big for everything, eats everything in the house, but is actually very friendly, loves all the farmyard animals.
It sounds like my dog, Belle.
Yeah, exactly. But in the end, there's a haunting image of this dinosaur who's by now extremely large, hauntingly looking at the wilderness. And so she decides she has to let him go. I think that's quite an interesting message.
It is.
And it is also about kindness and taking care of each other and being friends, all in a little book called Dogosaurus by Lucinda Gifford, who's both the author and the illustrator for that book.
And so for children that age, you have so many that are either dog kids or dinosaur kids. This hits both of them, the Dogosaurus.
It does,
but
you're right.
You're right, Bell. It's a hard lesson to teach kids that when it comes to nature, they really want to, they might have their little bug catcher and they really want to keep the butterfly or the grasshopper or whatever. And you have to explain to them, no, you've actually got to let it go or it's not happy and it dies. So does this book help us with that lesson?
I think so, in a very pleasant way, and a very kindly way. Mm. And yet it's fun too, because the dinosaur, as it grows, is rather hard to have a house for it, as you can imagine.
So unlike E.T. Goes Home, where we're all in tears at Steven Spielberg, this is the right move. The dinosaur, seriously, it has to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Good point.
So that was Dogosaurus by Lucinda Gifford. What else has caught your eye? So are we still in the 0 to 6 years category?
We are.
Yeah.
The title of this one is Go-Go and the Silver Shoes. It's by Jane Godwin, and it's illustrated by Anna Walker, who is a fabulous illustrator, just perfect for this age group. And it's about a little girl, and she has her friends, and they all go walking about. But if I just read you the first little page.
I just want to, when you read it, I just want to settle into a beanbag, and I feel like I'm about to have my afternoon nap. But no, I've got to stay awake. Okay.
Okay. She has three brothers. When Walter's clothes were too small for him, they went to Max. When they were too small for Max, they went to Finn. And when they were too small for Finn, they went to Go-Go, who is a girl. Now, Go-Go always makes her outfits very interesting, but not everybody thinks that her outfits, you know, obviously 3 times hand-me-downs, and they're from boys after all. But one thing that she's allowed to have all of her own are shoes.
Yeah.
Now she picks out these wonderful glossamer glitter silver shoes and runs around happily with her friends. But you know that something's going to happen, don't you? Because that has to happen in books. They're playing around in the water, and one of the shoes comes off and is lost.
Mm.
And so she only has one shoe, but this is her prize shoe. She goes to school, and she meets a new person in school, becomes friends with her, and lo and behold, that person has found that shoe that has washed up on the beach. So this is a wonderful story of friendship, of loss, of family. I mean, it has everything going for it. And it's also a beautifully illustrated book as well. So this is This is the little shoe that has slid down into the water.
And it's got a beautiful scene of fish and rocks and, it's lovely.
Look,
I'm just thinking of the fact that I can completely relate to Gogo as the girl's character. See, I'm the youngest out of four kids. But I used to get excited. It must be because, it was the big sister's hand-me-downs. You get excited when you get the big sister hand-me-downs if you're a little sister because it means you're big just like your big sister and she wore it, so it's got all this magical stuff to it. But I don't know, if I was getting the brother's hand-me-downs.
You'd think a little bit differently about it. I was one of three sisters and I was the middle one, so I got clothes that were pretty good. But by the time my younger sister got them, there wasn't an awful lot left of them. But, I never really realised until I read this book, how you must feel if all the hand-me-downs, by the time you get them. And actually, of course, they were boys' clothes too.
Yeah.
So they might not have been as appropriate as they might have been otherwise.
You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger, and with you is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is the director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. And this time every week we go through some, we go through children's books, interesting children's books, but it's quite a significant list we're looking at today because it's first of two swings that we're having at the list of Australian notable books coming from the Children's Book Council. So, Belle, I should clarify, these books are published in 2018. Is there a time frame?
They have to be published within 2018. So even though this is 2019, this is the notable list for 2019. Mm. So it's the books that were published last year. That's so that they can read absolutely everything that a publisher wants to submit. So there were 488 books that were considered, and they've winnowed them down. And then there will also be two more times when they went to, make them smaller. On the 26th of March, out will come the shortlist.
Ooh.
Now, the shortlist has only six in each of the five categories. Now, you can imagine going from 20 down to five. And then the 16th of August is the announcement of the winners. And there's usually one winner and two honor books in each of the categories. Mm. So there's a sense of what's going to happen, which ones? And of course, there's a lot of purchasing of these books, a lot of borrowing them from the public library. You don't have to buy them. You can borrow them from your local public library because they will have multiple copies of all these notable books as soon as they can get them in, because there's only a couple of people and organizations that know ahead of time. The publishers know ahead of time, but usually only 3 weeks ahead. That takes more than 3 weeks to reprint a book that's been shortlisted.
Mm.
I really have to say at this point in time, though, that there are many, many other children's book awards. There's the Prime Minister's Award for Children's Books. There's every premier has an award for children's books. There's the an award for an environmental book. There's a book for a speech pathology for children. So there are about 25 different awards. Each one has a specific difference. So that even though we've chosen these as the notables, there are other notable books too. This does not mean that there are not other notable books around.
For sure. And but in saying that, I'm assuming that, because so often when I'm in bookstores and I'm looking at the kids section with the children, going through the books, there'll always be someone that comes in and talks to the staff and says, what do I get a preteen, and they just have no idea where to start when it comes to buying children books, but they don't want to get another chunk of plastic junk. They want to actually get a book. Is this a good thing to help guide you through that?
I definitely think this is a literary award. And so it doesn't say it's for environment books or for a particular subject. It's good books that will last the test of time. The interesting thing about these books is that I know from our center where we collect translations of these books, if a book has won or been notable, it's more likely to be translated.
Oh.
It's also more likely to remain in print for longer. Libraries are going to buy it. When it wears out, they're going to buy another copy. So this is actually, these are really important for the livelihood of publishers and authors and illustrators.
Mm-hmm.
And I am glad that there are about 25 different awards that can be made.
Yeah. Now, Belle, we might have time to squeeze in one more notable book. What have you got another one there?
I have, and I'd like to particularly talk about Carolyn McGurl,
ah.
M-A-G-E-R-L, called Maya and Cat. Now, Carolyn McGurl has several books out. You know, her career is just emerging. But she's whimsical. She has a brilliant way of words that slide through your mind so that you feel like you know exactly what it looks like. So I'm just going to read you a line. On a roof, as wet as a seal, as gray as a puddle, Cat was rumbling a rumbly purr. And that particular cat has lost its home. And this little girl is going to spend the rest of the book asking different people, is this your cat? Might this be your cat? Is this your cat? And of course, the ending is really wonderful because she does find the owner. But she's very sad because she's grown very attached yes. to this cat. But fortunately, this cat who's been with Maya, who's helped her, has a little baby kitten and walks up to her and gives her the little baby kitten. Oh,
I'm just about to cry. That's amazing.
Isn't that a great... And this, the whimsical language that yeah. I read you is like that throughout the whole book. I think this would be a great read-aloud book to mm-hmm. kids. I think you could do it in the classroom. You could sit with somebody on your lap and read it. It's whimsical. And the illustrations are fabulous as yeah. well.
I almost feel, it sounds like so many age groups will enjoy this, but is there a specific age group that it's targeted at?
Well, these are called picture books of the year, and the picture book can go from 0 to 18.
Yeah.
I think even young children, I mean, the idea of having a pet, the idea of being lost, isn't that universal?
Yeah.
So this would be applicable to children, you know, even 2 years old, because it's not a long text. And the illustrations are wonderful.
Yeah, and just remind us of that. That's Maya and Cat, is it?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. That one sounds... I want to find out what happens, so I might be giving that one a bit of a read. Well, look, I'm really looking forward to going through more books that are on the list of the Children's Book Council of Australian Notable Books. Dr. Belle Alderman, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about it.
My absolute pleasure.
And I will catch you again very soon. You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger.